The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next on Life Today, surviving life's storms.
But here's what happens to me. If I don't cut it loose when he tells me to, and I never do exactly when he tells me to. And so, but if I just keep hanging on to something after he has said cut it loose, what happens is that rope becomes a noose around my neck, and it happens every time, every time.
Wrecked but not ruined, next.
Join your group, your church. Welcome to all of you. Welcome to Life Today. James Robinson, my wife Betty. Wednesdays with Beth. This is a book that you can get at the end of the program. It's called The Life That Overcomes. Now, these are some of the lessons and teaching series that she has done right here on Life Today. And we'd love for you to get it. By the way, we have another interesting offer. I think this is just fantastic. Read the Bible in 90 days, 3 months, the whole Bible. It's laid out to where it's very interestingly put together, where it'll take you on a wonderful spiritual journey that'll have transforming effect. Now, Beth is teaching a series on wrecked but not ruined, talking about the shipwreck, talking about what Paul went through. And we've had a lot of attacks. We've had a lot of assaults. We've had a lot of challenges. Wrecked but not ruined. Sometimes when you have a wreck, you have a challenge, you have a mountain, you have a valley, you feel like, well, it's just over. It's kind of like curtains. But it's not. It's an opportunity oftentimes to be lifted beyond and above and to learn through that challenging experience some of the greatest lessons in life. Here's Beth Moore. Welcome, Beth, would you?
Turn back with me to Acts chapter 27, and we're going to go into a little bit of 28 during this present series. We're in a two-part series coming out of the storm and the shipwreck with Paul and Luke and 274 others. So turn there, if you would, please. We're going to catch up with them while they are in the wait, day after day after day after day on this ship, and it says that they couldn't even tell day from night because the storm was raging so heavily around them. We were just talking about before you joined us, we had just been doing a little bit of praise and worship. I wish so much that you could all be part of that with us. That would be a joyful, joyful time together. But we were singing the song that says the words out of Isaiah 40, verse 31, where it says, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I want to say that again to you. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall just soar on eagle's wings and walk and run and not get weary, the Word of God says. But there's something that we miss over and over again because we think it says, those who wait will renew their strength. And so we keep wondering why in all of our waiting, we are getting weaker instead of stronger. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Because we go through this all the time. The Scripture says that in that waiting, we are supposed to gain strength. But if you're like me, the longer a wait goes on, the less and less strength I have a tendency to get. Is anybody going there with me? Anybody perhaps as immature as I am in my waiting somehow? But we miss the little phrase there that's the most important part. Those who wait upon the Lord. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. If you're like me, I'm waiting upon the thing that I'm waiting upon. Anybody getting that with me? He doesn't say, if you'll just wait upon the thing, you will renew your strength. He says, wait upon me in the thing. Wait upon me. That's exactly what we're going to see happen on the pages of Acts chapter 27. They are in a waiting game, and their lives are at stake. Now, at this point, they've been told through the Apostle Paul that they're not going to lose their lives, but that they are going to lose the ship. So somehow they know they're going to run aground, and it's going to be them swimming their way to the safety that God has for them. So with that in mind, I want you to pick up with me Acts chapter 27, verses 27 through 32 to begin with. It says this, on the 14th night, everybody say 14th night. I mean, that is a severe storm tossing back and forth in a ship. I want you to feel that rumble in your stomach. I want you to grab that airbag. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Because I'm telling you, these were men who were sick and tired of waiting. On the 14th night, we were still being driven across the Adriatic Sea, when about midnight, the sailors sensed they were approaching land. They took soundings and found that the water was 120 feet deep. A short time later, they took soundings again and found that it was 90 feet deep. So all of this is to tell us with our little bit of math that we're getting closer and closer and closer to shore. Fearing that we would be dashed against the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for daylight. In an attempt to escape from the ship, the sailors let the lifeboat down into the sea, pretending they were going to lower some anchors from the bow. Now, mind you, what they're doing, they're trying to escape. So they lower the lifeboats as quietly as they know how, because they're going to try to see if they can get away and leave the rest to die. Verse 31, it says, then Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, unless these men stay with the ship, you cannot be saved. And so the soldiers cut the ropes that held the lifeboat and let it fall away. I want you to camp right there. Now, you and I, and if you've been in our first half of the series together, we've already compiled 3 points, and I'm going to repeat to you what they are so far so you can jump in with us. I'm going to get our audience here to help me with this. But we've already come up with 3 statements out of the shipwreck that we find in 27, in this 27th chapter of Acts, and it's this. Number one, sometimes, would you finish this with me, we're standing in the exact spot where several storms collide. And we found that to be true, that it just seems like it's so often true that wherever we're standing, it's not just one thing we're going through, but it can be that several storms are coming and colliding right over our heads at the same time. A time of clarity, a time of direction if we've ever needed it, a time of collision. That was number one. Number two, the question of fault feeds the fury of every storm. What we talked about earlier in the series is that our tendency in a storm is that we'll often find we're not in it by ourselves. There are other people in it with us. And so what we'll find is it's a perfect opportunity to place some kind of blame and some kind of fault, because the truth of it is sometimes we do know that someone helped us get into that particular storm. Sometimes situations make it easy for us to blame until suddenly it's us and everybody's finger is pointed toward us, and then suddenly it's a whole different story. The question of fault feeds the fury of every storm. Number three, the titanic temptation in any storm is just to give way to it. In other words, we're just going to do what comes naturally to us, and we're just going to have a panic attack here. Or we're just going to go to bed and pull the covers over our head, or we're going to work ourselves into oblivion so that we don't know what's going on around us while all these collisions are taking place. This is where we pick up in our portion today. Here's what I want you to see is number four out of Acts 27 through 32. Number four is this, to make it through the storm, sometimes we have to cut some ropes. To make it through the storm, sometimes we got to cut some ropes. Would you take a moment to write that down? That's going to be based on Acts 27, verse 32. It says, so the soldiers cut the ropes that held the lifeboat and let it fall away. There can be beautiful clarity that comes out of being in a collision of storms. And sometimes we'll find that one reason why God brings us to that place is because it's time to let some things be cut away from our lives that we've been hanging on to. Listen, I want you to know something. They don't even have to be bad. It can just be that maybe you don't need them anymore. Maybe that the purpose they were serving in your life 5 years ago, 10 years ago, is simply finished now, and it's time to move on past it. And it won't be until we're in a storm and that ship is being tossed to and fro that we begin to realize we're going to have to cut some things off and get some focus and get some clarity here. I want you to know what I'm not talking about is cutting the ropes of your marriage. I want to say that really quickly. But beyond that, almost anything goes. Not exactly anything, but a whole lot of things are up for grabs when we come to a place where we see that God has direction for us that we can't necessarily take everyone we've been in relationship with for the last 25 years. Anybody get what I'm talking about? Maybe we cut loose of a job that we know God has brought us to the end of in the season of growth that we had, and it's time to move on. Maybe it's time to move to a new city. Maybe it's time to make some new friends. Maybe it's time, and I don't want you to assume this if God's not saying it to you. Don't let me put this on you. But sometimes it's just time to find a new church. But where God just says, cut some stuff loose and let me send you forth to the place I have for you. Cut it loose. Now, here's what I'm thinking today, and these were some notes I jotted down to myself to make sure I would tell you. When it comes to a point like this, I really do believe that God's going to use this as a confirmation. In other words, if you're just kind of coming up with something out of the blue right now, until you get it confirmed, don't go get the scissors. You understand what I'm saying? Because we can just take one thing right there, and then we go home and we break up with every friend we've got. We quit work tomorrow, and then you got no place to go day after tomorrow. But that's not what we're talking about here. But it is game if you're saying God has been telling me over and over again. In fact, maybe he's almost used that exact terminology, cut it loose. Cut it loose. Take this as a confirmation. Okay, say it's the first time you're hearing it. Well, now, if you hear it four more times before next Wednesday, cut it loose. That's when you do get your scissors. But here's what I found. Any time when God begins to work on me to make a change and to let go of some things and to go on forward with him in an area, any time that in my desire for security and sameness, I don't know how many of you are like me, but I want to have like exactly these same relationships all of my life, and I don't want to make any new ones. I don't want to have all the old ones. I want my staff to be exactly like it is right now in 15 years, and I would have missed so many wonderful people if I just had TikTok the game's locked. This is the only way we're going to do it. But that's our tendency. We want everything to stay the same, or we just keep accumulating. And we got more life going than we know how to handle. He's going, cut some of it loose. Maybe it's a wonderful hobby we have. He's just going, you know what? It's time now. I got somewhere else for you to go. Cut it loose. But here's what happens to me. If I don't cut it loose when he tells me to, and I never do exactly when he tells me to. Isn't that true about cut it loose terminology? I mean, that one takes a while. And so, but if I just keep hanging on to something after he has said cut it loose, what happens is that rope becomes a noose around my neck. And it happens every time. Every time when there could have been a smooth departure. But no, no. Instead, I hung on to that rope until that thing was all the way around my neck and was hanging me. That's what happens. A good thing can turn sour on us. Could be you're serving in an area of your church where you've been for many, many years, and it's like time. God has something else for you to do. And you're going, well, there's no one yet there to do it. That's because you're in it. Anybody? He'll supply all the needs according to his riches in Christ. But if we've not left the hole yet, it can't get filled because we're still in it, and we need to cut it loose because it's time. Again, only hear this as confirmation. But if he's been telling you over and over again, it's time, that may be one reason why we can't get onto that next place is we're just like hung on all these, everything we're hanging on to. We got to have the same thing, same people, same exact church, same exact mentors, same exact people, same exact work, same exact world. And he's going, I got a whole new place to take you. And you're so hung up in all your ties. You won't even go with me to freedom. Is it confirmation? Then get the scissors. I got to show you something so exciting. In Greek, in the very last verse of Acts, look all the way at the end. So I'm looking at Acts 28, all the way to the end at verse 31. It says this in the English, boldly and without hindrance, he preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, in Greek, the very last word of the verse, it ends, the entire book of Acts ends with the word that in the NIV says, without hindrance, without hindrance. It's the very last word, instead of being at the first of the verse where we put it in our English translation, it's the very last word. The entire book of Acts ends with the word in Greek that means unhindered. The entire book is about the unhindered work of the Holy Spirit through regular old flesh and blood, frail and weak people just like all of us. And it shows what would happen. I mean, they lived an adventure because they were just willing to move with the Spirit. And we just placed our feet in concrete and we demanded of God that we stay. And He's going, you know what? My cloudy pillar of anointing has moved. And you're just demanding that you stay right where you are. And that's where we get bored and we get weary and when was the last time we got a fresh word from God? Well, He was talking over there. And we're still over here going, what? What? A fresh work of God. We got to go with Him. The acts of the Holy Spirit on us will be where He is unhindered. Where are we just, we've just got a noose around the whole thing. We want Him to come and cut those ropes loose. And you know what? If we'll do that, even the things that He didn't mean for us to cut loose, they won't go anywhere. We can still like cut some ropes where we're not so tangled up in everything. We're just so busy being the Savior. Everybody in our little group knows that we're just totally tangled up in it. Listen, when we start cutting those ropes of codependency, what was meant for us will still stay. We just don't have to be all entangled in them. Anybody get a word from that? We can cut them loose. We can cut them loose. Then God decides, do they go in that current or do they stay right here next to us? But we want the Holy Spirit of God to be unhindered in us. Everybody say, unhindered.
Unhindered.
Say, come, Lord, be unhindered in me. I want you to see this for a moment. I want you to reflect on that lifeboat because here they've got the ship here, but they're gonna get down in that little lifeboat so that they can be saved in the tiny little boat. And I kept thinking to myself, this is what we do. We have our little lifeboats, the things that we're looking at for security, the things that are gonna save us in our storms that are not of God. What occurred to me, God brought Isaiah 40, verse 12 to my mind that says that He holds the sea in the hollow of His hand. I want you to understand, as your sea is tossing and as the wind is blowing, God not only has your ship in His hand, He has got the whole sea in the hollow of His hand, and your boat is right there in the middle of it. We can trust Him. We can trust Him.
To obtain information on Beth's teaching materials and for her speaking schedule, visit us online at lifetoday.org.
Boy, that is a tremendous truth. Everything Beth shares is, I think, is profound truth because it's biblical truth. But she communicates it so effectively in what she just said about the situation, not only your life, but the total situation, the whole picture. He got the whole world in His hand. It's critically important if you understand that, and I've said this before, I think it's worth repeating. If we are clay in the hand of the potter and our Father God, the Creator, the one who knows how to shape the very best in all of our lives, and there's pressure, it either comes from the hand of God for shaping purpose, or it is filtered through the fingers of God. Whoever fired the arrow that flies in the darkest moment and at the brightest day, the psalmist said, that arrow still gets through only in order to accomplish some purpose, and we don't have to receive the painful suggestions of the enemy. So these are literally fire that tests us oftentimes, trials that test, but make us stronger. Betty, we're going to hear the voice of God through one of our friends, a missionary, an athlete that would have been a professional athlete in South Africa in the sport of rugby, just like our NFL or our Major League Baseball or the National Basketball Association. But he said, no, I'm going to do what my dad has done. And he's done it for years now. What a blessing. I want you to listen. I want you to listen to him talk about the children on his continent. I believe you'll hear God. I believe you can do what God wants you to do. And I think it's really important. Listen.
Working here in Africa, we're constantly confronted by statistics. We track these statistics. I've got to be perfectly honest, after doing this for 14 years, I'm actually a little sick of statistics. I'm tired of hearing about, you know, the statistic that tells us that a child dies every 6 seconds. I'm sick of people telling me that there's a literal tsunami of children whose lives get stolen away by malnutrition. They have faces, they have names. The Matthews, the Jagombes, the Alberts. When I see the desperation in a mother's eyes as she sits on a concrete floor looking at her child literally dying in front of her, that's what's being lost every 6 seconds, is a life. It's not a statistic. It's a life.
God, I just thank you that when I look at those children, I don't just see a statistic. God, I see someone so precious to you. I don't ever want to get to a place that I'm not moved almost beyond the ability to even adequately express what I feel like. I found myself wanting to just sort of freeze frame on some of those little faces, little eyes. And knowing what absolute poverty is when you see it, and how simple it is to just give them what their heart desires. I look at all those precious mothers and those families, and they're not even thinking about, I wish I had a house or some mode of transportation. They don't. They walk. What they want that little baby. That little baby's their joy. That's their little baby, those precious mothers. Spend a lot of time praying for the dads to learn to be real good dads, just like I pray for them here at home. Be good dads. Little babies, that's a joy, that's their world. And all we got to do is feed them. And Betty and I are going to feed as many as we can. I mean, we just do it. We've done it for years. We've gone all over the world. We've held those kids. Many of them have died while we're with them. Go watch them bury them. So I'm asking you now, please, I'm just saying as directly as I can, please dial that number and take your bank card and use it the best way you'll ever use it. Use it like a glorious check and make the biggest gift you can. If you could help us feed 100 kids for the next month, give $1,000, do it. Just think about the simplicity of what I'm asking. $100 gift, we can feed 10 kids for the next months. When we began the program, we could feed them for 6 months on that amount. Now it's three. And so what Betty and I do, we spend a lot more time when you don't even see us just raising money to cover the whole year. But we come to you twice a year and we say, would you join us, please? Hundreds of thousands of kids. But they're not statistics. They're little kids, like Esau, the missionary, said. So would you dial the number, take your bank card. If you want to write a check, make it to life. Some of you like to do that still. Go get it, write it, make it to life. You're giving life. But address the envelope of life, put it in the mail. Or you can go to lifetoday.org. You can do that. It's simple. We have the gift immediately. And we can tell the missionaries, you can count on us. A lot of the missionaries, we need to do something in Somalia. It's really dangerous. Hundreds of thousands are going to die in the next months. We can't access. The missionaries say, it's so difficult. I've said, God, we got people who can make it happen. We got viewers who will see it the way you see it, and they'll do something. By the way, $30, three kids. Don't say I don't have enough. Hey, how big is that for those mothers of those children? How big is it for their future? Please. And I pray when you call, I pray many people are calling to get help. I pray when you call to help, if you get a busy, you'll be so persistent because a life depends on it. I'm going to get the life preserver to them. They're drowning. I'm going to save their lives. I can. It works. It's not a futile, feeble hope. It works. Please call or go online. And would you, if you could help us care for 10 or 100, whatever, we're going to send you Beth Moore's book. We're going to send you the 90-day Bible to say thank you, the beautiful bronze, just to bless you. We want to bless you. And I know you don't give to get. We give to you because we want to bless you. Thank you for helping us save those lives. Please make the call. If you get a busy, press on until you get through. Would you do it? Thank you.
At this very moment, a child is drawing her last breath, struggling to stay alive due to a lack of food. Sadly, this impoverished child is not alone, and without our help, many like her throughout Africa face death as well. Today, you can make a difference. You can help save a life. Life's mission feeding teams are in place right now, ready to answer the hunger cries of hundreds of thousands of suffering children in remote areas of Africa. With previous food reserves gone and parts of Africa facing its worst famine and food shortage in more than two decades, we desperately need to replenish our supplies for the feeding programs immediately. Your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 will help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift, we'll send you Beth Moore's book, The Life That Overcomes. This Life Outreach exclusive, featuring a collection of messages from Beth's heart, will inspire you to live an overcoming life each day. With your gift of $100 or more to help feed 10 children, you may also request our new 90-day Bible, designed to help you read through the scriptures in just 90 days. Finally, as a special challenge, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and save the lives of 100 children. And you may also request the beautiful Heart of the Father bronze sculpture. Please call, write, or make your gift online today at lifetoday.org.
Betty and I just say from the bottom of our heart, thank you in behalf of children whose lives you will save. The 90-Day Bible. Many of you never read the whole Bible. This is a wonderful journey. We're sending the Bible along with Beth's book, The Life That Overcomes. This is the life God wants for you. Those of you who make a gift to help us care for 10 children for the next month, $100. Where can you make a $100 gift that just keeps giving for months and gives the greatest gift that gives life? Beth's book for any gift, both of these books for a gift of $100. Please keep this in mind. If you can help us care for 100 children, make a $1,000 gift or more, please do that. We'll send you the Heart of the Father bronze. It's beautiful. These collectibles become not only a treasure to say, well, that's wonderful. These artists have done this to say thank you, but they become a conversation piece. Often you can inspire others to begin to save lives and to make a divine deposit in areas of incredible, indescribable pain. Thank you for your help. Tell your friends to watch Life Today. Tell them about Beth.
Some people are thanks whiners. You know, God's want me to do this, but I'm going to whine for Jesus, you know.
Happy to do it tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.